Hey, 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 thanks for joining us this week. I'm Keely.
I'm Kinley.
And you're listening to Spook Street. Whew, today.
Crazy.
Has been
exhausting.
A day. I'm so glad it's Friday. It's Friday when we're recording.
We're slackers.
Yeah, we're a bit of slackers, but Kinley's birthday's tomorrow, December 21st. So whenever you guys listen to this, I'm hoping to get it all edited and posted.
I'm hoping.
Tomorrow, on your birthday.
You're hoping to post it tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm hoping. So, today's case is one that I'm fairly certain you haven't heard of yet, Kinley. But I can guarantee that it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, it has to be interesting. You wrote 3,000 words about it.
Well, these are just my notes.
Long notes!
But it's one that I heard and I was like, wow, like that really hit me. Anyways, and this case may have you reevaluating some things, you know, or some people. I don't want to get too deep.
Okay. Just jump into what we're doing.
Okay. So this case is about the murder of Jerry Michael Williams.
We saw this on the... Was this one on the thingy we watched? The scary videos?
No.
Ah, okay.
So, Jerry was known as Mike to all his friends and family and described by all the people who knew him as one of the nicest people. One of the nicest person.
People.
Yeah. Anyways, persons. So... I am going to give y'all just a little bit of background on Mike. So, he was born October 16th, 1969, and grew up in Bradfordville, Florida, with his parents and brother Nick. His father, a Greyhound bus driver, and mother, a daycare provider, worked, you know, like a second job, mm-hmm. and as cashiers at a supermarket. And they saved up that money to ensure that their kids went to a good high school.
Yeah.
They lived very modestly, but they wanted to make sure that they had a good education.
Yeah.
So they did. They attended North Florida Christian High School, where Mike was an excellent student. He was student council president. He was an athlete. He played football, and he was also a member of Key Club, which I was the treasurer of Key Club my senior year. It's an awesome organization. But in high school, he met Denise Merrill and Brian Winchester. Denise would be his high school sweetheart, and Brian his best friend. Denise and Mike dated throughout high school and college, eventually marrying in 1994.
Oh, how cute.
I know, right? I love high school sweethearts that get married. Like, and Mike and Brian continued their friendship throughout their adult lives. Brian also married his high school sweetheart. And Mike and Brian were known. I can't talk today.
I can tell.
It's been a long day. Mike and Brian were known to do everything together. They got married around the same time. They bought new houses at the same time.
That's best friend
They
goals.
Had children at the same time. They went on vacations and double dates together. They...
Best friend goals.
They were... Yeah. So, Mike, when he went to college, he majored in political science and urban planning at Florida State University. And before he even graduated with his degree, He was hired on at Ketchum Appraisal Group as a property appraiser.
Appraiser.
The owner of the company described him as, and I quote, "the hardest working man I've ever saw." End quote. He would come home late after his wife and daughter would go to sleep and often went duck hunting before work in the mornings. And so he was really dedicated to his job. And although he worked hard, he was also described as a devoted husband and father. And coworkers said that he was as devoted to his daughter, who was born in 1999, as he was to his job. And let's just say that Mike was making bank. They lived in an upscale subdivision on the east side of Tallahassee, Florida, and through Brian Winchester, Mike's best friend, they took out a $1 million life insurance policy on him.
Jeez, Pete, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot. So on December 14th, 2000, Mike and Denise told...
That's a few days before I was born.
Yeah, that was... the anniversary of that was just a couple days ago.
Is that why you...
No, it wasn't. I've been wanting to do this case, and when I saw that it was...
Around this time?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that makes it perfect. December 14th, 2000, Mike and Denise told Mike's mother and brother Nick that they were expecting their second child. In 2001, Denise said that they were planning on taking a cruise to Hawaii, and he was expected to travel to Jamaica later that year for work. But on December 16th, 2000, Mike went missing. Denise said that Mike woke up early December 16th so that he could go duck hunting at Lake Seminole. He planned on spending just a couple hours in the morning hunting before he and Denise would go on a weekend trip to celebrate their anniversary.
Yeah.
When he hadn't returned hours later, Denise got worried, called her father and many other friends and family looking for Mike.
Yeah.
So, she was worried because
he hadn't come home.
Hadn't come back. And he was, known to keep his word.
Right.
So when he hadn't come back, she just kind of got a little worried because they were planning on leaving.
Right.
So word got around and Brian, his best friend, Brian's dad called him and said that Mike is missing. So both Brian and his father went searching part of the lake he was known to go hunting at. And when they got there, they found his truck and his boat trailer, but Mike wasn't there and neither was his boat. So he would have to be out in the water.
Right.
His boat is gone, but his truck and his trailer is there. He has to be on the water. So, Florida Wildlife Conservation Commission was called, and they reported that they had found the truck, but not him. So, they conducted a search and rescue for Mike, and they just knew an accident had happened, and they needed to find him. So, they weren't particularly thinking about the possibility of it being a crime scene. So, that kind of hinders... Or hurts things.
Yeah.
Later on. But in the search, they found Mike's boat with two life jackets and a shotgun in it. But no Mike.
Why'd you turn it?
So you can't see my stuff. My notes.
I can't even read it. It's too small.
You can't even read?
No, I mean, I could read, but I can't read your writing. It's your typing. It's too small.
Okay, well.
I like looking at it, though.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so. They were called and they reported that you made me mess up. Okay. In the search, they found Mike's boat with two life jackets and his shotgun in it, but no Mike. after checking the gas tank, they found that it was almost completely full, which is odd thinking about this. Like, you would assume that, mm-hmm. you know, if Mike wasn't in the boat, if
it would have to be empty.
Somehow he went over,
mm-hmm.
it would have
been empty.
Because it would have kept going, yeah. right? I mean, you would think. And his shotgun was
still in there.
Still in the case.
Oh.
Shotgun hadn't been taken out of the case. So the search for Mike had to be halted for the night due to a big storm rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
And they assumed that Mike had drowned. And they ensured his family that his body would surface in a couple days. And they would find him. Maybe a couple more due to the cold front that was brought in. It brought, by the storm, it brought in freezing temperatures. It was like 19 degrees. But, you know, his body will surface.
Yeah.
So, let me tell you a little bit about the way that they were searching for Mike to get a better understanding of how things were going. So, what they did, because the water was... Lake Seminole was known to have really muddy, murky waters, and...
Did they get, like, something to drag the water?
Kind of. So, it wasn't very deep, either.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty shallow. So, they would mark off an area, they would get a boat, and they would get a PVC pipe, and they would go a little bit, and they would, you know...
That's taking too long.
Poke the bottom of it. Because...
If they fill the body, you could fill if there's a body under a pipe.
Compared to a log or... Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would kind of give mush. Away a little. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mush, like you said.
I didn't mean to say mush.
So, day 10 in the search for Mike, they found on top of the water a camo hunting hat. It wasn't confirmed to be Mike's hat. They sent it off for testing, and it came back, and it said that there was no
DNA
connecting Mike to it. So, but it was a possibility that it was his hat. And it's day 10, Kinley. Jeez. It's day 10, Kinley. They believe that he drowned in the lake, but 10 days later in the body... has yet to be found. What happens to waterlogged bodies once they've been in the water for a while?
They start expanding.
And?
Falling apart.
No. They float.
Oh, they fall apart too.
Dead bodies float.
Do you float?
We all float down here. There had been 90, jeez, I can't talk. There had been 79 drownings at this lake, and all 79 bodies were found. Why is it so hard to find Mike's?
Because it's not in the water.
The search continued into February, so December to February. And guess what?
Still nobody.
Still nobody. So at this point, they aren't quite sure that he was in the water anymore. Lake Seminole was known to harbor many alligators in their shallow and murky waters. People began to theorize that after falling off the boat, he was eaten by alligators. The theory was more widely accepted when an official report was done by the search party stating that with the wildlife around, I would guess that the alligators were... This theory had been more widely accepted when an official report was done by a search party stating that, quote, with the wildlife around, I would guess that the alligators have dismembered and have stored the remains in a location that we were not able to find, end quote. There was one person that did not accept this, and what had happened... There was one person that didn't accept this as to what had happened to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a guess at who it was?
I don't know who.
His mama. And let me tell you right now, Kinley, she is an absolute angel. Oh my gosh. She's adorable. Let me pull up a picture for you so you can see her. So yeah, it was his mom. And take a look at her. Oh, tell me she isn't adorable.
She's the cutest little thing I've ever seen in my life.
And her little pigtails.
So cute.
Like every picture that I see of her, she has the pigtails.
That's so cute.
So Cheryl just knew that there was something not right about this. Maybe it was her gut because, you know, you got to trust your gut, especially a woman's gut.
My eyelids are sticking together.
And definitely, especially a mama's gut. And maybe some of it had to do with what Mike told her not too long before.
What, that they were having another kid?
Alligators don't feed when it's cold.
Ooh.
It was December, and that storm that came in that night, it
brought the temperatures down.
Freezing temperatures along with it, yep. So what Mike told her was true, there was no way that this theory stands true.
Right.
I mean.
And then into January and February, it's still cold.
Right. So it's not like his body just like.
They slowly, after time, took it. No, they wouldn't have touched it.
Right. And I looked into it. There's something about, like, apparently they kind of hibernate, too. Alligators.
Uh-huh.
So.
It's cold.
Cheryl, being the mother of a missing Mike, voiced her concerns. But they were combated with pity and disbelief that she couldn't just let it go.
Uh-huh.
Her son's missing.
Right. Of course she's not going to let it go.
Right. So. Maybe it was just a little more than what Mike had said that caused some suspicion in Cheryl's mind. Let me just say it. Okay, so maybe it was just a little more than what Mike said that caused some suspicion in Cheryl's mind. The actions of some people following Mike's disappearance seemed a little off to her. The day after the search officially ended in February, Denise insisted on holding a memorial service for Mike. You know, some people may say that Denise got her answer. They know what happened, and this was her closure. Not Cheryl. She didn't understand why they were taking this answer as to what really happened. She didn't understand why they didn't want to keep searching for him.
Uh-huh.
But Denise didn't see any other explanation for what happened to her husband.
Does she work any? Does Denise work any?
Yes. She was an accountant. Okay. But, yeah, she didn't see any other explanation for what happened to her husband.
Right.
You know, his boat was out in the water. His truck was there.
Right.
And his body was never found.
Right.
She was like, he loves me and his daughter, he wouldn't run away.
Right.
So the report said that was likely eaten by alligators, but so there wouldn't be any other explanation. She just wanted to hold a memorial service as a way to heal, and so they did. But that didn't stop Cheryl.
Right.
She's a mama out for answers, which is totally understandable. So she reached out to an alligator expert and asked if it was even possible for that to happen. The expert reported that it was not possible for him to be eaten and there be no trace. It was impossible. And that was exactly the answer she wanted. So, Cheryl began her own investigation behind the scenes. She began making notes and pages upon pages upon pages of notes. This mama believed something wasn't right about her about this and was going to get to the bottom of it, even if she did it herself. But something happened that hindered her personal investigation. Fishermen out on Lake Seminole found a pair of wading boots in the area that he went missing, and when diving crews went in, they found a flashlight and a hunting jacket with Mike's hunting license inside the pocket. They knew for a fact that it was his because you could still see his signature on the license clear as day, as if it had just been signed. Finding this solidified beliefs that he had indeed been eaten by alligators. You know, his jacket.
Right.
His wading boots. But there's a problem with that.
They don't. They're in hibernation.
Well, even if they weren't, there's... Everything was in perfect condition.
It would have been torn up if alligators would have gotten to it.
I mean, if he was indeed wearing those clothes...
If he was wearing that jacket,
and it
would have been torn up.
Yeah.
Because when they go to, like, dismember, they twist until, like, they get their arm off. So that's
going to be all... Right, and, are we going to sit here and say, oh, yes, he fell into the water and an alligator came and neatly took his jacket off him
and then began to eat him? And ate him. No, it doesn't work like that.
Right. So, shortly after this, Cheryl found out that Denise used those exact items as proof that her son, Jerry Michael Williams, was, in fact, dead. This was done because in Florida, you have to wait about 7 years to declare a missing person deceased unless there's evidence or proof that the individual is likely dead and a body may never be recovered. And doing this, the death certificate and ruling can be expedited.
Did you say Cheryl or Denise can use it?
Cheryl found out that Denise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Denise used those. So doing this would allow Denise to
get his life insurance.
Cash out the now $1.75 million of life insurance money that had been taken out on Mike. This actually wasn't the only step that needed to be taken in order to accomplish this, though. Cheryl also found out that in order for an individual to be declared dead, a public service had to be held, such as a memorial.
2 months after?
The day after
the search party ended.
Yep. Yeah. So, for years and years, she had asked the police to look into her son's case, and they finally gave in 2004. They took a look at all her notes, and the report from the alligator expert at Florida State University. And when they looked at it, they saw some things that weren't aligning right. And they realized exactly what Cheryl was trying to say the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Something's not right. Sorry, our puppy's just laying here asleep. Is she so cute? Okay, anyways, so they agreed with her findings, and they too were suspicious, and it didn't make much sense to them, especially the fact that the gas tank was nearly full, like we talked about. The boat wasn't found where the truck and the trailer would have been unloaded, and if he had fallen overboard, wouldn't his engine still be running until it emptied or died?
Right.
Emptied and died. So, that wasn't the only thing that they found a little bit odd.
Wasn't the ceremony?
So, Mike didn't hunt alone. And do you remember how many life jackets were in the boat?
2
life jackets.
Who do you usually hunt with?
Normally, when Mike went hunting, he would go with Brian. But on that day, on the day of his disappearance, Brian had committed on going hunting with Kathy's dad, so his father-in-law. And due to sleeping in, because they had went out to a concert the night before, and they had a lot to drink and everything, and he slept in, and he even actually missed hunting with his father-in-law. So, even if he were out with Mike, he had no reason for hurting his best friend.
Right.
So, that shot down that possibility. And the police continue to investigate Mike's disappearance, and some suspects came to light, such as Denise, his wife, and her boyfriend. You know, the one that sold them the life insurance policy. Brian.
His best friend?
His best friend. A few years after his disappearance, Brian divorced Kathy.
And married.
And began openly dating Denise after a long-term secret relationship that officially started October 1997. Then in 2005, they got married. Despite their suspicions, law enforcement had to eventually close the investigation. There wasn't much evidence that they could go off of or continue the investigation with because, like I said, in the first few months, they were thinking it was a search and rescue or that they were going to recover a body. They weren't treating it like a crime scene.
Right.
So that destroyed
all the evidence.
Yeah. So tell me what you think right now. What's going through your head?
It's all
scrambled.
Yeah.
You confused?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, although the police were done, not Cheryl. The cold case detective would begin to ignore her, and Denise refused to let her daughter see
Cheryl.
Because
she's got a guilty conscience, or however you say it.
Or she doesn't want, you know, Cheryl being around their daughter, little girl Ansley, and talking about how, you know, mom's guilty. So for 9 years, Cheryl would write their governor a letter begging for assistance with this. But if they did continue, like if they got back on the case, opened the case back up, what would they do? Denise and Brian were happily married. Or so they thought. Something happened that they were hoping for. They found out that they were having issues within their marriage. Maybe, just maybe, they could get one of them to turn on the other. If they do, who do you think's going to turn?
It's going to be the wife. No, it's going to be the best friend.
Turning on
his wife, his new wife.
We'll see. In 2012, they separated, and despite his attempts, Denise refused to take Brian back. One day, as she's heading to work, Brian slowly pops up from the back seat with a gun and a tarp, and it's obvious to Denise that he's prepared to murder her. He gives this sap story about how he can't be without her and everything he gave up to be with her, yada, yada, yada. Denise plays along and talks him down, you know, the smart thing to do. And then she ends up running to the police for help. And Brian is arrested for assault and kidnapping. He's arrested for kidnapping. And Denise asked that he have life in prison while giving her victim impact statement at the hearing. She begged. She was terrified knowing that if he were ever to be released, he would come and kill her. Like, mm-hmm. she's not safe. Please, please. She said, you're choosing between my life and his, and I hope you choose mine. And if these are the people that are responsible for
mm-hmm.
Mike's disappearance, she's got balls.
Right.
Oh, it's my life or his, blah, blah, blah. It was
her husband's life, too. You killed him.
So, Brian, without her knowledge, was offered a deal. He was sentenced 20 years to prison because of Denise. For immunity, he could confess and turn on Denise, which he did.
I knew it.
And he led police to where he buried Mike Williams. Denise and Brian had been having an affair for years. Denise confessed to Brian that she wasn't happy in her marriage with Mike, and gradually over time, they decided that they would kill Mike. Denise figured that killing Mike was the best way because she didn't want to and would not get divorced.
But yet she married, what's his name, and Brian and divorced
him. Right. And I'm like, you've got to have a lot of pride or...
must be stupid or something.
Like... how is it that you are like, no, I refuse. I'm not divorcing somebody.
Right.
So the only way around it is to murder them.
And then go marry someone else, and then you're not happy there, so you divorce them. Why don't kill them off, too? If that's not, what you want
to
do.
We're not saying to do this.
We're just saying, if she didn't want to divorce...
Why'd she end up getting a divorce? Right.
It's because he didn't have that life insurance. She wasn't going to kill him if he didn't have that life insurance.
Or because... you know what? I'll wait. So, they contemplated killing him at his office and making it look like a robbery, but they didn't want an investigation. They wanted something to look like an accident. So
wrong time of the year to do that.
So the two couples, I'll tell you a little bit about that too. The two couples, another plan was that Kathy and Brian and Denise and Mike would go out on a boat. They would push Kathy and Mike over and let the boat sink or float away as Denise and Brian held onto a buoy to make it look like an accident. Like they were the only survivors mm-hmm. in a terrible boat accident. But they finally fell on the hunting accident murder. And they wanted to talk about the plan to make sure that they were going to go through with it. He kind of makes it sound like he was... he pretty much was saying it's now or never.
Mm-hmm.
December rolls around. It's now or never. His life insurance policy was going to expire. So, you know, if you want to do this.
We're doing it now.
We've got to do it now. And I have a little clip from a video that I want to have y'all listen to. So this is Brian at Denise's
hearing.
Trial.
At the last minute and in a sick sort of way, you know, it was kind of like, you know, well, if God wants this to happen, this is what's going to happen, because the plan again was that it was going to be an accident.
So their plan was to make it look like an accident, you know. If he drowns, he drowns.
Right.
If he drowns, it's God's will.
Right.
If he ends up making it, he makes it. He survives. Like.
Right.
So they're going off of, you know, whatever it is, it's God's will.
Right.
which I find sick that somebody would say that. But so at the trial, he remembers the events and, you know, tells of the events that led up to that fateful day. He talks about how the night before, Mike volunteered to ring bells at the Walmart for the Salvation Army, and Kathy and Brian went to a concert. He wanted to get Kathy as drunk as possible so that she would sleep in late and not notice him leaving in the morning. So he and Denise had even talked about drugging Kathy to make sure that she sleeps and she sleeps hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up not. He got her drunk, and that was that. And in the morning, Brian met Mike at a gas station and made sure that Mike brought his waders, because the belief was that if he went overboard, it would ensure that he drowned. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're heavy. They're mm-hmm. going to pull him down. And he told him not to call him. Brian told Mike not to call him and that his phone was dead, and making sure that they drove separately. He didn't want any evidence that,
he
you know,
was there.
Mike called
mm-hmm.
before. Like, he didn't want to have to try to explain. So they pulled into a landing that Brian chose, talking Mike into putting on his waders before they got in the boat and launched it. Everything was taking longer than what he was hoping and was stretched for time as he was going to go hunting with his father-in-law as an alibi.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped the boat, got him to stand up somehow. He said that he doesn't remember how he got him to stand up, but he did. And once he did, he pushed him in the water. He moved the boat farther away from him so he couldn't, like, reach mm-hmm. back into the boat. And he saw him, like, moving around, struggling a little bit in the water because it wasn't super high. Like,
uh-huh.
And he realized that Mike was taking the jacket and waders off. He swims over to a stump and holds on to it and begins yelling. I'm not sure what he was yelling. May have been yelling for him to help. Whatever. Brian got nervous. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's God's will. But maybe didn't think about, you know, Mike felt you push him off the boat.
Right.
How are you going to explain that that was an accident?
Right.
So Brian loaded his gun. He circled around Mike, you know, like predators.
Mm-hmm.
He circled around him a few times and then shot him in the head. This changed plans for Brian, as he was hoping, obviously, like we said, to make it look like an accidental death. How are you going to explain a drowned man with a gunshot wound?
Right.
So he ended up reaching into the water. He grabbed a hold of Mike and he motored the boat to a dirt landing where the boat was found. Around where the boat was mm-hmm. found. And he left Mike's body there. And he went to get his car. He backed his truck up to the edge of the water. Like, he went far back. Like, his tailgate
mm-hmm.
was in the water. And he put Mike into the trunk. He said that he was really heavy. Mike was just a little bigger than him. And with the waterway, so once he got him in there, he pushed the boat back into the water. And at this point, he knew he wasn't going to make it hunting with his father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
There goes that alibi for him. So he ended up going home and he called his father-in-law from his home phone, using that to help establish his alibi. He was home when Mike went missing. How mm-hmm. would he, you know? He told his half-awake Kathy, you know, kind of, hey, waking her up just a little bit, but not fully waking her up. He didn't want her completely awake mm-hmm. because he didn't want to have to explain, you know, what he was doing.
Right.
He told her that he was going out to train the dogs because he trained dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back outside, and when he does, he sees blood dripping from the back of his vehicle and onto their driveway. So he freaks out, and he starts to rinse off the driveway and decided to go to a store. He bought a shovel, a tarp, weights, like the workout weights. And he went to Car Lake, wrapped Mike up in the tarp, and tried to drag him to the lake because he was
going to weigh him down.
Yeah. But he was too heavy to drag out there. And he ended up burying him on the edge of the lake. So when the water came back up, because it was pretty dry, it wasn't up to,
mm-hmm.
you know, the level it usually is.
They wouldn't be able to find him.
So yeah, so when the water came up, he would be under the water. And while he was doing this, a guy drove up on his way to go hunting. From where he wasn't able to see, you know, what was going down mm-hmm. on the bank. Brian and this man talked for a few minutes, actually. And he went about his way. And once he was far enough, he continued digging and finally put Mike in the shallow grave that he dug. After this, he put the shovel back in to the truck and he went to clean his truck. First at his parents' house, he hosed it off and he realized, no, this isn't getting it. Like, I need a pressure washer.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts driving around.
Pressure washer?
Yeah, pressure washer.
Power washer?
Power washer, pressure washer. Whatever. So he went to a few car washes and he couldn't find one. And he finally did. And he washed it, you know, whatever. And they went to, I think, like a Christmas party on Kathy's side of the family. Mm-hmm. And when they got back, he got a call from his father letting him know that Mike was missing. And although he didn't, ew. I hope they couldn't hear that. Oh my God, you're disgusting. Although he didn't really want to, he knew that he had to agree to meet his dad to go looking for Mike. And there's another little clip that I want to show you guys.
And, my dad and I went out on the lake and searched for Mike. He was searching and I was just lying.
My understanding, a weather front came through and it rained during that evening.
There was a storm that came through that night. I think we got off the lake before that happened, but you know, my dad wanted to look at it. I think we were the last ones on the lake, and my dad didn't want to give up. My dad loved Mike.
Yeah, but I'm like, you freaking douchebag. You are sitting here crying.
But you're the one who did it.
But you're the one who killed him. Like, and not even on accident.
Right.
This was purpose, and this was premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
So he admitted to, you know, you remember the hat that they found.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted that he threw that in the water, and he threw it around the same area where his waders and jacket was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted them to find it, and he thought, you know, if I throw it there, maybe they'll...
Right.
So, after Brian testified, Denise was found guilty of Mike's murder and sentenced to life in prison, while Brian continues to serve his 20-year kidnapping sentence. So...
When was that?
2017.
Oh, so here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So he won't get out for a while. But, yeah, this was a... So he went missing in 2000. And this, the trial for Denise was 2017. So yeah, it was really recent. But I knew that you wouldn't know. You're not as big of a
crime junkie as you
are. Yeah. But yeah, so that was, what are your thoughts?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, you kind of puts into perspective of, not perspective, but like, you need to make sure that you watch out or you're careful as to who your friends are. I mean, mm-hmm. I can guarantee Mike had no idea that, you know, his mm-hmm. best friend and his wife were planning on murdering him.
Right.
But let me show you a picture of this wretched woman named Denise. There she is. She just...
I've seen pictures of her.
Looks before. Evil. Then there was their little family. Look, a little Ansley.
She's cute.
And obviously that's Mike.
Yeah.
But... So, yes. That was the murder of Mike Williams. And, yeah, so I'll get this posted as soon as possible, edited and posted, and we will see you next week. See on the flip side. Is there anything else you want to add? Yes, there is. So, send us, any case requests or... any messages at all.
Of stuff you want to hear.
Through our email. You can even send it through, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But obviously, you can email us at SpookStreetPodcast@gmail.com.
Follow us on Facebook.
At Spook Street Podcast.
Follow us on Instagram.
At Spook Street Podcast.
And also follow us on Twitter.
At Spook Street Pod.
Peace.
And chicken grease.
I'm trying to eat it.
I'm your idiot.